This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
So front page of the New York Times talks about a devastating loss for pro-life forces. Justice has overturned Texas abortion limits. There has been the belief for some time in conservative circles that this court was going to continue moving towards outlawing abortion bit by bit, piece by piece. That certainly belief was blown out of the water yesterday in this decision, was it not?
Yeah, I believe it was, particularly given the fact that this outcome came about and this outcome would have come about, and notwithstanding the death of Justice Scalia. In other words, even if Justice Scalia had still been around, it appears that this outcome would have been exactly the same. Now, this is the first time since 2000 in a case called Stenberg versus Carhart that the court has taken this type of action. So we're talking about roughly 16 years since this type of action has occurred, and certainly it is being perceived correctly, I think, as a significant setback for the pro-life movement. Look, these were restrictions, these were health and safety restrictions imposed by the state of Texas, simply dealing with proximity to an admitting hospital, simply dealing with the health and safety standards that are applicable to an outpatient surgery facility.
Right.
And so a lot of pro-life activists and a lot of people who are just interested in maintaining the public health and safety of the people of Texas were confident in this case, and yet the Supreme Court saw fit to intervene. I don't think it was warranted, but it is the outcome that we are faced with.
Obviously, the court and Kennedy could have found a rational reason why the state would decide to put some of these regulations on abortion clinics if they'd chosen to. It wasn't a reach at all. They had an excuse, and they decided not to take it, and I think it's really significant.
His book is Our Lost Constitution. Senator Mike Lee, thank you very much for being on the show this morning.
Well, Senator Mike Lee, who's going to be on with us next week, and I can't wait to have him on with us to talk more about this and, what's been happening with the attack on our Constitution. I think it's a huge deal. This is more significant than I believe people are really considering here, because they want to see this as an abortion issue, but Democrats have been ones to say, oh, we're here to protect the health of women. Are you really? I mean, this is a 5-3 decision. This is why Mike Lee and the commentator said, well, whether or not Justin Scalia was there may not have made a difference. Well, you don't know that, because Scalia always had influence even prior to decisions. And I'm sure there would have been some questions that he would have brought up, only that he would have brought up, relevant to the Constitution, and it would have been interesting. So I think the loss of Scalia in this argument is dramatic, and here it is. The absence of Scalia is felt with a 5-3 decision, and one that I believe opens up consideration for, I believe, some say it's not an overreach. I'm not a legal expert, but with other legal experts that I've spoken with and relevant to our Constitution, I believe it's an overreach. I agree with them that it is, and I think it's grounds for impeachment, frankly. That we need to look at these judges and what they're doing. The way they're vetted, it's so difficult to understand really where they're coming from, though we have an idea, how they're going to decide issues, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, this also opens up to what they're going to fight for next, that insurance companies have to cover abortions.
Well, of course.
And that's what they'll go after next.
But why wouldn't you want to have these doctors have a relationship with a local office? I mean, what brought this up to begin with? The fact was, you had young women going in and dying at these facilities, and you found out after the fact that these doctors didn't even have admission qualifications. They didn't have a relationship with a local hospital. I, I, and you know, Texas, to its credit, said, hey, look, we want to protect our women. And the Supreme Court says, nah, you don't have to. That was their decision. 5-4. Amazing.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. It's always good to have you along with us. 6 minutes after the top of the hour for more information on the show. You want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. There is a plethora, I mean a plethora, capital P, kind of source of information here for you to check out at your convenience. Also, you want to drop me an email, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Tell me you want to be in the running for that DVD. We've got a plethora as well of DVDs of the movie Arisen, and we'd like to make sure we put one in your hands. All you got to do is just send me an email, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. We've been doing this now for several weeks with other DVDs. They seem to be coming in right now. It's the season. Why not? Let's spread the love, okay? We're going to spread it out to you. All you got to do, just tell me, hey, Martinez, put me in the running, okay, would you? Here's my address, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com, and good luck, okay? Hopefully you can become a winner of the DVD, Blu-ray disc of the movie Risen. Lots of fun to share with your family and your friends. Hey, Howard Stern is with us right now. He's a university professor, having earned his master's degree at UC Berkeley, and an atheist. He says, don't hold it against him. I mean, UC Berkeley, yeah, beautiful campus, just gorgeous. I know there's some interesting ideas that come out of there, but it's good. We need to continue on the conversation, and we're going to have some with the professor in just a moment. He was a vowed atheist when he was overcome with a devastating and life-changing illness while on vacation in Paris. That illness resulted in a near-death experience on June the 1st, 1985, and he's going to tell us all about it and what happened afterwards. Howard Storm, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, Professor?
Very good. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Hey, great to have you here. So tell us about it. You know, we all, you know, I was born and raised in California, and we always had a good time, you know, with UC Berkeley. So, you know, it's with due respect that I refer to Berkeley. I think it's just a gorgeous campus. Every time, you know, about the closest thing that I got to UC Berkeley is that, you know, they let me on the campus only because they didn't know I was coming on. And so I kind of, but I enjoy I enjoyed it. It's a great campus, and I love the laboratory of thought that takes place there. And you know, though I may disagree with some of the principles, that's okay. I love the conversation.
Yeah. Right.
So
Berserkly.
I'm sorry, what is that?
We called it Berserkly.
I imagine at times it probably could be, and being an insider, you could say that and not upset too many people, because the insiders probably realize that maybe at times, just like any kind of school of thought where you take yourself maybe too seriously at times, you know, you can thwart ideas, but also hopefully you know, we're open for the good ideas that can come out and still rise to the top as cream does. You were saying that, you know, during this period of time, you were an avowed atheist. You didn't believe in God, and then something happened while you were in Paris, right?
Right. In 1985, I was taking a group of art students around on an art tour, and on the last day of our trip, three-week trip around Europe, we were in Paris, and I had a perforation of my stomach. Mm. I didn't know I had... the condition. I may have had an ulcer. It may have been a foreign object. I'll never know. But anyway, so it took me right down to the ground with the most incredible pain I'd ever experienced in my life. And I was taken by an ambulance to a the biggest, I think, municipal hospital in Paris, the emergency room. They knew immediately what was wrong and told me that I had to have surgery immediately or that I would die. When I talked to doctors in the United States since that experience about it, they said my life expectancy on the outside was about 5 hours without surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me from the emergency room to a surgical hospital, and they parked me in a room. But because of socialized medicine and because it was a Saturday, there was no surgeon available to do the surgery. So I was parked, given no medication, no painkillers, no nothing, as in no pillow, no sheet, no blanket, no nothing.
Oh, wow. You're just lying there on a naked gurney?
On a naked bed, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
And for 10 hours.
For 10 hours, and though the doctors back home said your life expectancy is 5 without surgery.
Right.
So
right.
So you're twice the length of time.
Yeah, because I was 38 years old, and I didn't want to die, because I knew, and I thought all rational, intelligent people knew that when you died, you were dead. You know, you know, I didn't believe that, like, a little blue spirit came up rising out of your body called the soul and went to heaven. I didn't believe, or the other place. I didn't believe in it. So anyways, after 10 hours, a nurse came into the room. I hadn't seen a doctor the whole time I was in the surgical hospital, but a nurse came into the room. They came in about once every hour or two and asked me how I was doing, and I told them I'm dying, and they go, oh, sorry.
Well, that's the socialized medicine response. See, you get that. You get that in the manual when you go to socialized medicine. it's listed right there in the idiom and the response terms that need to be used.
Yeah. We really don't want socialized medicine. It's bad.
Right. Exactly.
Anyways, so she said that they were not able to locate a doctor, and her words were, "We will try to get one the next day." Well, I had known I was losing the battle for hours, and the pain was, like, just unbelievable.
Imagine you would probably cycle in and out, just passing out because of the pain from time to time, right?
I couldn't pass out, and that was one of the things that really upset me. I kept wondering, why can't I pass out? I thought when things got this bad, you were supposed to go unconscious, and I never went unconscious.
Oh, wow.
So I told my wife, I said, I'm going to die now. And I want to say goodbye, and I told her I loved her, and she kissed me and hugged me and told me she loved me, and I told her to tell my kids and my parents that I loved them and tell my friends, and and I went on, and I closed my eyes to die, and then I went unconscious, and the next thing I knew was I was awake, and I felt physically better than I'd ever felt in my entire life. My senses were heightened, checking out my environment, and I was yelling and screaming at my wife and the man that was the roommate in our room, and they didn't respond to me at all, which made me very angry because I thought they were ignoring me.
Right.
And I heard people outside the room calling me by name, and I went over to the room and I said, I'm really sick. I need surgery. And they said, we know all about you. We've been waiting for you. Hurry up. Let's go. So I assumed that they were a medical team coming to take me to the doctor.
Right.
Well, they never exactly said that.
Yeah.
That's what I thought they were.
Because that's the logical thinking you would have at that point in time, right?
Yeah. And so we walked into the hallway, which was very gray and dismal and foggy, and had a really bad feeling about going with these people. But
well, yeah, because you're not even carried in the gurney. You're walking down the hallway, right?
Yeah, but considering the treatment I've gotten so far, this was not
right.
And so we went on a long journey down what I thought was the hallway, which just turned out to be, I don't know where it was, but anyways, we went into complete darkness. And when I got to the place where I couldn't see anymore, I mean, I finally knew this is bad. This is not good. I want to go back. And I said, I'm not going any further with you. And they said, no, you're going further. And I said, no, I'm not. And so we fought. And I played some football in high school and stuff like that. And I was a big, strong guy. So
okay, Howard, hang on 1 second, only because we got to go to break here. And we're going to pick it up from that point on the other side of the break. Howard Storm is with us. We're talking about his near-death experience back on June the 1st in 1985. This is Bill Martinez live. More from the professor after this. Stay with us. 15 after.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests. If you've just made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has over 85 years of experience exterminating invaders like you. And right now, they're making it easier than ever for homes to be protected by offering a free pest estimate to every caller at 1-800-676-1468. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests. This is your eviction notice. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will protect that home with a 100% satisfaction money-back guarantee, so you can never return. Warning, homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate at 1-800-676-1468. 1-800-676-1468.
Limitations apply. See plan for details.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we don't diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, Bill Martinez Live is offering Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 855-305-8326.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, welcome. welcome back, America, whether it's online or any one of our 280-some affiliates. Welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Our conversation with Howard Storm continues. He's a university professor, having earned his master's degree at UC Berkeley, or as he fondly refers to it, as UC Berserkley, and an atheist when he was overcome with a devastating and life-changing illness while on vacation in Paris. And when we left Howard, he was walking down the hallway and realized as he was walking down the hallway, thinking that maybe he was going to surgery, but he was walking after being laid up for an endless amount of hours, well beyond the life expectancy that was projected by doctors back here in the States. It said with the ailment he was dealing with, he had maybe 5 hours of life expectancy without surgery. Now he's 10 plus and counting. But he's heading down the hallway thinking he's going to surgery. But, Howard, something tells you we ain't going to surgery, Toto.
Right. These people were getting very vicious. When I said I wouldn't go with them any further, they started to push and pull at me, and I fought back with them. And they started to bite and tear. And they were in no hurry to destroy me because they were very happy to hear me scream and yell and to fight. So they're just like, take off a piece of an ear, a piece of my calf, a piece of my, you know, this and that, bit by bit by bit, until finally there wasn't enough of me to fight anymore, and I'm lying on the ground of that place. And I heard a voice that seemed to come from, like, my chest or something and said, pray to God. And I thought, what a stupid idea. I don't believe in God. And the voice said, pray to God. Mm. And I thought, I don't know how to pray. And the voice said, pray to God. And I thought, when I was a kid and went to Sunday school, we said prayers, and I'm trying to remember something, and I'm coming up with, like, I pledge allegiance to the flag. You know,
you're kind of sounding like Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act,
yeah,
trying to do the prayer for dinner, right?
Exactly. Yes. Finally, I come up with a couple little phrases, and the people around me get very, very agitated and tell me there's no God and nobody can hear me, and they're going to make things much worse for me if I don't stop. But I also noticed that by any of my feeble attempts to repeat any kind of phrase that had gone in it, it drove them further and further away. So I drove them off me, and I got to think about my life. And I'm not going to go through my whole assessment of my life, but as a teacher, I graded my life, and I decided that whatever life was supposed to be about, I had missed it. And I had failed the final exam. And now I was getting what I had deserved by being with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the total abject despair when I went back to that place of being a little kid in a Sunday school classroom. And I was thinking about singing Jesus Loves Me. And I called up to Jesus out of pure desperation. And he came into that darkness and he took me out of it. And he gave me a complete life review from beginning to end, and then he asked me to ask questions, and I asked him everything I could think of to ask, which he answered everything very carefully. Mm-hmm. Then he gave me the really bad news, which is that I had to come back here and try this whole thing again, this thing called life, and I was not a candidate for heaven at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sent me back, and so that's what I've been doing for the past 31 years, is trying to live a life the way I think he wants us to live, which is to be a good person and a loving, kind person.
Mm-hmm.
To follow his
example. And, of course, you wrote the book My Descent into Death, A Second Chance at Life, as a result of this experience, to help, you know, document and just remind yourself of what you went through, right?
Right. And hopefully my story, other people could learn from it, not to do the same stupid, dumb things that I've done.
Well, but sometimes, you know, with all due respect, Howard, I've often said that sometimes we have to fall off the roof to find out when we hit the ground there is such a thing as the law of gravity.
Yeah.
You know, just because we deny it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And so for you, you denied God, but then you got to the point at that crossroads of life where you had an opportunity to acknowledge that it wasn't about you, and yes, you went back to that point in life when you were you had some understanding and connection of God, and go figure, with all your education and your experience, a professor in college, and you find yourself as a little child.
Exactly. You nailed it right there. You really did.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, only because, let me tell you, Howard, we all go through that. And we think we're so smart, but this is also why Jesus said very clearly, you must, in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you have to have this kind of childlike innocence and curiosity. That it's not going to be because of the wisdom and the books and the degrees that we have. It's because of this sense of innocence and questioning. Because, you know, even you got to that point that was really, very important. You know, Jesus, you know, who says, I am the way, I'm the truth, the life. And when he says that, he's got the answers for us. And he says, okay, ask me the questions you have. And unfortunately, you had ears to hear. And you had a heart, okay, these are questions, probably questions you had within you all these number of years, right?
Yes. And I don't have any more questions. My only question now is, how do you want me to behave today?
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, and the thing is about it, and I understand, Howard, that sometimes in our humanity, we think it's about doing instead of what he's already done. And if we live in the presence and the idea of what he accomplished for us, it goes a lot easier. We're not struggling. I got to tell you, I was really sad for Muhammad Ali during his funeral, because what he got out of in dealing with Parkinson's was his interpretation was that he had to do good. It was about working his way to heaven. And I know a lot of people watched that memorial and thought, well, yeah, that's what you have to do. You got to earn your way to heaven. You know, that is the biggest lie, and it's the biggest waste of human energy when we buy into that idea, because that comes from the devil. That doesn't come from God. Right. God clearly said, look, your entrance into heaven has already been settled. The only thing that needs to happen is, hey, are you going to accept Jesus as the cornerstone of your life? And for you, it took this experience to do that, right?
Absolutely. It's all about grace, not about how good we might think we are.
Yeah.
Although I do try and be good.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, we don't want to go around being knuckleheads. I mean, when you have that kind of experience, with God, you know, how do you come? I mean, it's like your wife must have been blown away because you go through this experience. And now all of a sudden you're talking about God and she's thinking, oh, Lord, have mercy. What's happened to this boy?
Yeah, she didn't like it at all because she was a non-believer too, but she didn't have the experience. So
how do you get her to understand the experience and your conversion? Now, does she see the dramatic life change and says, I want some of what you have, or she just repelled and says, I don't want anything to do with you?
She is an attorney, and she was horrified by the change in me, and she divorced me.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean,
broke my heart.
I bet, because you have now, at that time, how many children did you have when you were 38 in Paris?
Two.
You had two, now you have six, so you've remarried, right?
Yeah.
You remarried?
A woman who likes the new me.
Yeah, isn't that a celebration, huh? Well, and maybe, you know, for your first wife, it's some, maybe, you know, she comes to know the truth. Because that's what we had hoped, and I see that for me personally. We've all gone through this journey, Howard. That's why I say what you've gone through is nothing unique. We all have our moments, our Damascus moments, you could say, as Paul went through, and they are life-changing, and you're grateful for having that time to be able to come into contact with the truth and, you know, make the choices that really are eternal choices. And now you're building a legacy built on this new faith you have. And that's most incredible. And I imagine you like that a lot more even than all your degrees that you have. Howard Storm has been our guest, and we're talking about his book, My Descent into Death, A Second Chance at Life.
Miracles are God's way of letting us know He's here.
From the producers of Heaven is for Real, Miracles from Heaven, based on the incredible true story.
So you're telling me it healed her?
Yes.
That's impossible.
If you don't believe in miracles, you will after watching this film, says the insider.
He told me I'd be fine.
Who told you you'd be fine?
Miracles from Heaven, starring Jennifer Garner. Own it now on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD. Rated PG.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Here's Dr. Paul Meyer, Christian psychiatrist, author of 85 books, and founder of the national chain Meyer Clinics, to tell you about To Your Health liquid vitamins.
I've been taking these every day for over a decade now, and I try to encourage every one of my clients to take them every day. And there's a number of reasons. First of all, it's the best vitamin you can get. It's got dozens of vitamins, antioxidants, and nutrients in it. And then the most important reason why I do it as a psychiatrist and recommend it to my patients is because it's got brain food in it. It's got the essential amino acids. It's got tryptophan, phenylalanine, tyrosine, choline, vitamin B6, and these chemicals that are all natural from food turn into the brain chemicals that make you happy.
To Your Health is delicious. Find out more today. Call us 800-801-3459 or visit online at mytoyourhealth.com. Use the coupon code RADIO15 for a 15% discount on your order. That's mytoyourhealth.com.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates that we have here on Bill Martinez Live, welcome aboard. It's just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Gary Byrne is with us, who served in the federal law enforcement for nearly 30 years in the U.S. Air Force Security Police, the Uniform Division of Secret Service, and most recently as a federal air marshal. Gary, thank you to your service to our country and to we the people on the heels of our Independence Day celebration, 240 years here in America. You know, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate your invitation today. I'm grateful to be here.
Well, he's author of the book Crisis of Character, and we're going to talk about this in just a moment, but both our heads are still spinning from the FBI director's announcement that with all the information that they investigated regarding the Hillary Clinton scandal, it pointed more towards incompetence than breaking the law. And I'm not sure what's worse. I mean, how does she go on as a legitimate presidential candidate when the FBI director basically says she's incompetent? Well, so are we going to Peter Principle her up into the White House? Is that the decision?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. I mean, based on what I've seen over my career, and especially since when I worked with the Clintons from about, you know, the time they got elected in the early 90s to the time they left office, this is par for the course. I mean, I did expect her to have criminal charges. Now that she doesn't, now they're just reaffirming what is in my book, Crisis of Character, is that she's just completely incompetent. She's a dictator. She wants all these big government programs, but she doesn't want to follow all the rules and stuff that come with these programs. For instance, one of the reasons she said she used her own private server was because the government ones were too slow. Well, how about fix the problem and then use it?
Yes. No, that wasn't, I mean, all that is just, you know, it's all plausible deniability. It's just obfuscation.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, as she stated, also is, and you saw from these emails, the reason she had her private server is because she didn't want to be subject to FOIA requests. She didn't want to be, she did not want to be held accountable. This is what the Clintons do. They've done it time again. I mean, the old saying, if you want to know what somebody was going to do, look at what they've done. This has been their pattern from day one when they entered into service, all under the guise of trying to serve we the people.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I can see that why people would be so upset with this. It's just it's incredible.
Well, it's going to either it's just going to cause Americans, Gary, to throw their hands up and just say, look, we have no say. We're totally neutered. It's like, why even bother to vote? Why even bother to contend with this messed up government and let it go? Or they're going to really get angry like they did in Europe and say enough. And they're going to come out and vote, and they're not going to allow Hillary Clinton to be the first woman president and have control of 3 to 4 Supreme Court justices.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you said it just exactly right. And my thing on it is, you know, I'd love to have the first woman president. For me, it would have been probably Farina. Mm-hmm. But if your guests are kind enough to get the opportunity to read my book, Crisis of Character, everything that they're angry about today, I talk about how I experienced similar things all through the time that I protected them. Mm-hmm. And it's just bizarre how they can keep, I mean, at some point, You stop and you think, am I really seeing this the way I'm seeing it? But you are. They are that corrupt, and they still seem to get away with it no matter what.
And you were only allowed to see so much, Gary. I mean, some of this stuff, maybe private phone calls and things that are coming out in terms of the Clinton Foundation, you didn't necessarily have privilege there, but you're seeing it from the surface. And, you know, it's like it looks like a duck and walks like a duck. You know, and reasonable people would come out and say, yeah, it's probably a duck.
Yeah.
You know,
one of the things that stuck out the most to me, I use this as an example in my book, Crisis of Character, is when Mrs. Clinton was started running about a year ago, you know, full speed, so to speak, and she was trying to tell this great story about how when she landed in Bosnia, how, you know, they landed and they had to run off
under fire. Yeah.
Right, under fire. Anybody in the Secret Service knew as soon as they saw that it was a complete lie. Because when you work around it, you just know, first of all, we know what happened. I mean, I wasn't on that mission, but I know what happened. Mm-hmm. And, anybody, anytime you hear any politician say, especially Mrs. Clinton, tell you something, you know, exciting like that, it's complete hogwash. And there's nobody in the Secret Service that had any doubt that she was lying. And sure enough, she was. And nobody, you know, her feet are never held to the fire. Oh, well, she misstated. She had it mixed up with something else. Oh, the other time that she was shot at and nobody responded, the Secret Service didn't know about it. You know, it's just bizarre. It's just hard to fathom.
Well, it's got to be difficult as a Secret Service member because, you know, your job is to protect you know, the president and his family. That is job one. But when you're around this stuff where you're going, wait a minute, you would hope to be working with someone who has integrity, that represents the highest office in the land, if not the world, and you have a breakdown in integrity like this. You know, this is, you know, it's probably something that gives you a sense that you want to go and take a bath every night.
So, When I was in the Secret Service Uniform Division, and basically what you just described, we have a saying, it's just kind of a joke, but it kind of rings true. The American public elects them, we protect them. And now I'm voicing my personal opinions now that I've retired and I've written my book, Crisis of Character. But at the time when I was working there, I'll tell you that I was as loyal to them as anybody. And actually there's a couple episodes in my book where I tried to do the right thing for them. And sometimes you just can't help them help themselves. I mean, I wasn't trying to do anything illegal, but they were just things that, you know, your listeners will, if they're nice enough to read my book, they'll be able to discern for themselves. But their behavior is just so bizarre. It's just one scandal after another. And here's another scandal.
Well, and here it is. You've got a ground floor level. How did the other uniformed Secret Service personnel, did they just kind of, you know, grit their teeth and just go, oh, well, you know, here's the Clintons and just,
sure.
You know, I mean, that's all you can do, right?
Opinions. Yeah. Yeah. We voiced our opinions amongst ourselves, and some of the guys were very hostile towards the President Clinton and Mrs. Clinton, you know, personally, you know, when we're sitting around eating lunch or having a beer, you know, off duty hours, that type of thing. But they, but when they were on the job, they were on the job and they always did the right thing for them. But yeah, there was, especially the guys that were like, that I'll say the Vietnam War era veterans, those guys.
Yes.
They were not fondly of President Clinton. They were really offended by the way he evaded the draft and the way Mrs. Clinton protected him over it. And so it was tough for those guys, but they always did their jobs. So that's something I never want the American people to worry about. The Secret Service agents or officers, they will do their job.
Well, Gary, I know Crisis of Character, your new book, has come under all kinds of attacks because, after all, you're going after, you know, the Clinton regime.
Right.
And just at this level, I mean, you're saying, okay, here's what you saw at the ground level as a uniformed Secret Service. What are other agents saying to you, if even secretly on the side, without any, because you really are coming out from the fray and you're putting yourself right in the middle of this whole controversy?
Yeah. So the agents themselves, I haven't heard too much from, other than the negative. The agents, retired agents association, has come out and tried to explain to me. The people that I purposely wrote this book without telling anybody, because I wanted to give everybody who was in the Secret Service or who was still in the Secret Service or in the Air Marshal Service, I wanted to give them deniability.
Yes.
And two, a lot of the stories, you know, the people that come out and blaming me, and even Mr. Clinton's campaign, here's the thing. If you don't believe that I was there when it happened, just look over across the room in the campaign headquarters and ask John Podesta. And you can contact George Stephanopoulos and ask them, because I saw those people every day.
Exactly.
President Clinton.
Gary, we got to go to break right now. Our conversation with Gary Byrne, author of the book Crisis of Character, continues right after this. Stay with us, America. 18 before the top of the hour.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
The activewear trend in fashion is booming. Fitness gear is not just for working out anymore. Just ask actress Malin Ackerman. The busy actress, mom, and fitness fanatic teamed up with LG to showcase its new Sidekick pedestal washer, the first laundry system that has a cycle specifically designed for activewear. They say it's for small loads that are a big deal.
It is a dual washer, but the bottom Sidekick is what is incredible about this thing. I have a 3-year-old son, and so I don't know if you know about toddlers. They spill everything on themselves. You change their outfits about 5 times a day, so it's great to be able to just throw in a quick load, and you don't have to wait for a full load. They have 6 different cycles, and for people who are active like myself, your activewear, you have your favorite pieces that you like to throw in there. You do the activewear wash cycle, and it's done.
Ackerman's also starring in an LG fitness and fashion video series showing how the LG Sidekick pedestal washer helps keep her fashionably fit, and how others can look and feel their best every day, too. In New York, I'm Lisa Minnett.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Have you ever wondered why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood? You know, I look at some people on this stuff, and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight, you know what I mean? Careful with green vegetables. They must know best. Side effects include bleeding from the gums after you brush your teeth, swelling or pain at an injection site, diarrhea, vomiting, or inability to eat for more than 24 hours, fever, severe bleeding, including heavier than normal menstrual bleeding, red or brown urine, black or bloody stools, severe headache or stomach pain, joint pain, discomfort, or swelling, especially after an injury, vomiting of blood or material that looks like coffee grounds, bruising that develops without an injury, you remember? Well, dizziness or weakness on top of that, and even death or skin tissue or necrosis. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA. Plus, find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us in the good fight to get this country back on track, God willing. It's just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Conversation with Gary Burns, author of the book Crisis, Crisis in Character, will continue in just a moment. But I have to chuckle here, Gary. The headlines with Drudge say FBI Director Clinton and aides extremely careless in handling of classified information. 110 emails sent or received on server contained classified information. Magic. She's cleared. So I guess, you know, ignorance of the law is an excuse now in the 21st century. Are you ready for that? Gary, are you there?
Yeah. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. We're there.
No, yeah, I'm here.
Okay. No, I was just saying, you know, based on, I guess, the conclusion from James Comey is that ignorance of the law is an excuse now.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. And if it was anybody else, they'd be getting charged. It's incredible.
I imagine Petraeus and how many other government officials down through the ages. I mean, they probably don't want to say anything because they got to figure if Hillary and her powerful contingent can get away with this, then this is quite foreboding, and everybody's going to take a giant step back and either be that much more convinced on the, you know, the corruption of, you know, of the Clinton Foundation and anything that has Clinton associated with it and our current government. I mean, this is rather, this is going to be tough to kind of connect the dots and figure out how do we reconcile this stuff. But, you know, you lived with it, Gary, firsthand there as a uniformed Secret Service agent, you know, serving the White House and serving the Clintons. And this is what prompted you to write the book Crisis of Character. You said you did so without any kind of announcement to other Secret Service agents. But I'm sure, you know, you've got that code among the Secret Service that you know no evil, you speak no evil, you don't do anything. You just keep it quiet, do your job, and ignore what's happening about you. But I imagine that, you know, based on not only your report, but other reports, Gary, there was so much stuff happening with the Clintons, whether it was Lewinsky and other affairs that the president was involved with, stuff that Hillary's doing. I mean, between the two of them, there's such a cloud of, you know, of crud that follows them. It's like, gosh, I can't believe this country wants to relive this again.
I know. I agree with you 100%. One of the things that, that people need to understand about me and my book, Questions of Character, I never thought I would take, I always thought I would take these things to my grave. But about a year and a half ago, I decided when I saw she was running that people needed to know what the truth is. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier, that people, you know, normally the Secret Service people don't talk about this. But the truth is, a lot of the stuff that's in my book has been talked about in other books. But the difference is, that was told by Secret Service agents who, instead of coming forward and taking risks, they told their stories and anecdotes over free steak dinners and martinis. And, you know, where I'm coming forward and telling you what happened, exactly how it affected me in the first hand.
You know, I sense with them, a lot of it was kind of like a deep throat scenario. It wasn't like they wanted to come out of the shadow. They wanted to stay in the shadow, not have any declarative association with their statements. As you say, over cocktails and a nice steak dinner, and, you know, it was anecdotal information that wasn't necessarily attributed to them. Now, you talk in your book, In Crisis of Character, about the Clinton marriage. I mean, you know, people, you know, scratch their heads over this, and you know, it was goofy enough as it was back then, and the prospect of us having to relive the Clinton marriage, it wasn't necessarily the most idyllic and an example to the rest of this country.
Yeah, it was very bizarre. And, you know, again, these are things I never thought I would talk about, but unless somebody comes out and tells the truth about Mrs. Clinton's poor character, the American people will never know. Mm-hmm. And my biggest concern now is, now that she's gotten this passed over the emails, and if she does end up becoming the next president of the United States, who's going to, and President Clinton, Bill Clinton, is living in the White House again, who's going to protect these young women that work there from him? We know what he did the first time. Who's going to protect them now?
Well, all you can hope is that, you know, maybe his testosterone level has gotten to such a point that he's not running around like that loose rooster on the ranch as he did back then. And, of course, you know, you relate situations where Hillary was quite violent and even abusive toward the president, her husband, right?
Yes, there's a story I tell in my book where I came into work one morning, and the guys that were going off shift relayed to us that the Mr. and Mrs. Clinton had a bad argument, a fight upstairs. An argument so loud that the house people that maintained the mansion and served the first family actually moved away from the living quarters because they were embarrassed that it was so loud. And at some point during the argument, there was a crash. And later on, when it was investigated, there was a broken blue vase. Now, this has been reported before, again, second and third hand. Mm-hmm. I know this happened because, one, I heard about the argument from reliable people. Two, I saw the broken vase. As soon as my friend told me the story, I walked over to the curator's office. That's the people that maintain the artwork in the White House. And sure enough, sitting in the curator's office, looking at there, was a small cardboard box with the blue vase, mostly blue, a little bit of white, and it was broken. Mm-hmm. And then the next time I saw the president over in the Oval Office later, he had a black mark under his eye, a black eye, and he was trying to conceal it with makeup.
Yeah.
So what I know for sure is there was an argument, there was a broken vase, and he came down trying to conceal a black eye.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, also, what has been reported, not only in your book, but in other books as well, Gary, is Hillary, at points on television and interviews, can present herself as very sweet, but we've heard that her language is about as coarse as it can get.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't have a problem with people under pressure. I myself use cuss words at the time with the voice to get my opinion across or whatever. But what I describe in my book first as a character is her cussing right at people, the people that protect her. One of the stories I tell is a gentleman who came to work in the uniform division who had been in the Army a few years before and had been deployed to Somalia by her husband, President Clinton. And while this guy was in Somalia, he was wounded in an incident.
and he received the Purple Heart. Now, 3 or 4 years later, he's working for the Secret Service Uniform Division, protecting his first family. Mm-hmm. He's walking down the West Colonnade, and he sees the First Lady. He says, "Good morning, First Lady," and she told him to go F himself. And that's just one of the things that happened there, of the many things that happened while I was working there. And I myself have been broke.
Yeah, she didn't want the Secret Service around any more than she wanted, a government email server, did she?
No, that's correct. That's a good analogy. No, she didn't. And you know, here's the thing: I realize the Secret Service is it's tough to deal with. We're in your life all the time, but it was no secret of what the job entailed. They didn't get there by accident. Her husband didn't accidentally run for president. And one of the other things I'd like to point out, too, is the First Lady had a lot of power when her husband was president. And she wasn't, there were no checks and balances for her, because she technically wasn't an employee.
An unelected, powerful position within the White House,
yeah,
huh?
Wow. Exactly.
Yeah.
And if she gets back in, you'll see the same thing from her husband. And in some cases, he's more powerful now than he was before, because he sits on this huge pile of cash. And so, yeah, the things that I describe in my book, Crisis of Character, they are bizarre, but it's true. It was my life, and it's how it intersected with their life.
Exactly. Well, Gary, you talk about Secret Service discussing. Here you are. You're protecting the president, and you're thinking, from existential threats, but you have an intrinsic threat there in the White House living with him that you guys, somebody might have to take a bullet for the president that his wife shot at him or something. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit here, but
no,
but she was very violent toward him, right?
Yeah, just so you know, the only people with guns are us, the Secret Service. So, but, yeah, she did appear to be violent towards him, and not just appear. I mean, we saw her, myself and many other people, and I talk about this in my book. I cite examples of her getting so angry, where she got so angry one time in a car, a limousine sitting on the South Lawn of the White House. Mm-hmm. She hit the Secret Service agent in the back of the head with a Bible. And I'm sorry, that's just unacceptable behavior.
Wow.
And then now we're one step closer to making her the commander in chief. I think it's dangerous for the country and for the world, to be honest with you.
Well, we got about a minute left here, Gary. You were called to give your testimony on the Monica Lewinsky scandal. That had to have been a tough situation because now, I mean, you're asked by an outside agency to come in and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but, when Secret Service generally, keeps information tight to the vest.
Right. And basically that was set up by the senior people in the Secret Service to compel us to testify to protect the cell. And I was one of the first uniform division officers ever in the history of the country to be compelled to testify against the president in a criminal case, and then ordered by Supreme Court Justice Rehnquist to testify. So it was a very bizarre time.
I bet it was. Well, Gary, congratulations on the book. I know it's probably bittersweet in some degree when you think and look back at your service to this country and that you've had to deal with this aspect and now find yourself compelled to tell the true story in Crisis of Character. Gary Byrne has been our guest on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, America, for being with us.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771. The investment world isn't fair. A precious metals trader buys gold and silver at spot price. You pay his price plus fees, costs, and shipping. But today, you don't. Today, JM Bullion offers a 10-ounce bar of pure silver at spot price. No fees, no markups, no shipping. Invest in something real, not Wall Street paper. 10 ounces of silver at spot price. Visit realpricesilver.com for this limited time offer. One per household, 50 United States only. Realpricesilver.com.
Would it be okay?